Gentleman Wright on Mr. Weaver's new reel. The beginning of the visit with Mr. Weaver at on Wednesday at noon, the 1st of September, 1971. Channel 1 Wright on Mr. Weaver's new reel this Wednesday at noon, the 1st of September, 1971. It's a beautiful day. The wind is in the east. It's fall in the air. And these big, beautiful summer clouds, and the sky is blue, and it's perfect day for hay, but nobody's here to help. Channel 1 Wright, and beginning of the visit with Mr. Weaver, this Wednesday at noon, the 1st of September, 1971. Beautiful day. He came over to see Jim and send by him to get some medicine for him. They didn't have it at McIntosh. Channel 1 Wright, beginning the visit with Mr. Weaver this Wednesday at noon, the 1st of September, 1971.
Get out there, the ground steamy and hot.
Yeah.
Really steamy and hot.
Yeah. Oh. You'll have to sit down just a minute and let us
okay,
get,
go ahead.
Let me get he gets the glass.
You know, I've seen horses with that what just got out there, but I never did. I don't remember what they did for it. I don't think there's anything much you can do for it. If they get too hot, you get them too hot, we'll give it to them. Somebody may be in riding that horse and got it too hot one time. And I don't think they ever get fairly old, but they come back on that time. In the wintertime, it won't bother as much as it will in the summer.
Just like people.
Yeah.
You can get ahead of it, but every now and then it'll come back on you.
Yeah. And anything like that will do that. I've seen them with it before. And they used to, some of them called it the thumps, and some of them called it the heaves.
Oh.
And I've never known, I don't remember, you know, it's been so long since I flew the horse, and I don't remember of anything that you could do about it, or if it begins a real hot day, and it'll happen worse than well, a cold day. You watch it and see now.
Well,
if it's ever been too hot.
I'm sure that's true.
Well, coming pretty soon now, you'll get relief, won't you?
What's that?
It'll get cool.
Yeah, it'll, you watch and see now. If it's pneumonia she's had, and she takes a little cold, it'll be still worse on you. Or east wind's bad on it, too. That's bad on people when a little something wrong with them about breathing. My head, it gives me fits.
East wind?
East wind. I hate for the east the wind blow out of the east for too much. You notice how much pressure in the northwest wind begin to turn cooler in the wintertime. How much more pep you got in you. Did you ever notice that?
When the wind gets in the
northwest.
Yeah.
And notice how much. Of course, if it gets real freezing, that that'll hurt you.
Yeah.
But when it goes turning cooler.
Well, now I had never known about that. Now you can sit here and eat
cottage
cheese and peach, Mr. Weaver. Yeah. And I know you can. I don't care if you have had lunch. That will be your afternoon snack.
That'd be nice. Thank you. I didn't bring that little booklet. See if I've got anything in my pocket. See anything about this? There's something for excess acid in the stomach.
Let me get one of my glasses.
Our directions is on this, but they've got a booklet that tells you how you can tell just exactly. I've been taking that over 30 years. That's what I want to get him to bring me in the morning. I'm out of them, and I didn't get to use enough.
Weather's tablets. And they don't keep it down here.
Now I try to get them. Now Dr. Hendricks and Dr. Cook used to keep them in stock, and they said there's loads of them. They sold. And that fellow down there now just won't approve with them.
Well, he'll get them for you if you want them.
He don't do it.
If you like.
And I'm out. I had to go to Gainesville to get those. And I was up there, and I got my tag and took more money, and I couldn't get a $5 bottle. And I just took a dollar and a half bottle of all the money I had left. So.
Now, what do you take these for?
For, haven't you had heartburn and ulcerated stomach? I mean, that's what it's made for, ulcers in your stomach, you see.
Yeah.
I took them back in the 30s. The only thing done me any good.
These tablets contain the finest and purest ingredients.
Books tells you how you can just tell when you symptoms of it and everything.
Yeah.
I give Buck one, told him to try to get him, see if Mary up there, see if they'd order some. You don't, I'm going to order them direct myself and go to keeping them. But it takes some, I don't have the money to put in.
Yeah, you got to have a capital.
To do that, you know.
Oh, yeah, these things costly.
Dollar and a half for 19 of them.
My goodness, and
a 33-day treatment, it costs you 5 and a half.
But how often do you take them?
Well, I just took those. My stomach got sore, my mouth was sore, and I'm breathing, and I had a high fever all the time. And it's done, that 6 day
you
stopped.
You don't mean it.
And it's done stopped it.
Goodness.
And my mouth gets sore from it. Too much fever in the stomach.
And with you telling the man down there, he still won't order it.
He hadn't done it.
Well, Lord help us.
I've tried to get him for the last 2 years to keep him. And it's 6 miles down now and 12 miles to Gainesville.
Yes, but there's no traffic down here.
You're going down there? I know it, but you know what? So I can drive down there in a few minutes, but 12 miles to Gainesville. Then I have to get in all that heavy traffic.
You got all that heavy traffic.
Well, now I'll tell you where you get them in Gainesville, at the City Drugstore on the Square or Vidal. And
yeah.
I imagine a lot of those other drugstores keep them up there, too.
Yeah. Did you give Mr. Weaver a little bite of something?
Yes, he has something right here.
Well?
Let me get you.
Mr. Weaver?
Yes.
Now, let me see. I told you what I knew about this horse, a cow. And you have run into things like that yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me a little bit. Tell me again. Let me know, sort of pick it up the way you told me down there.
I didn't hear you.
I can't, I have a hard time getting things straight unless I work at it.
Kind of study it, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Well, on that down there, see if it gets a, I got this scrape cut place on my arm or anything like that, and they get in this stale water, well, they'll catch, it'll be fungus or jungle itch. It's called that, you know, it's been called that, and you treat all about the same thing for that. And I don't remember where my head not giving it. It hurts a little bit today back here, and I can't remember didn't press on now, just how I told you a few minutes ago about it.
Well, I tell you, with that, I never saw it before.
Mm-hmm. And
have you seen it?
Yeah.
Fairly common?
I've seen it happen, but never did see it that bad.
Oh.
We never did let it get that bad. You know, you can take before you've salted meat down, and you can take that salt of meat and put on there and tie it up, and that'll draw that poison out. That salt will draw the poison out. It'll stop blood pouring.
Yeah.
Table salt will. Now, the old doctor told me that ain't just country stuff.
Yeah.
And I had it, and the streaks are going up my hand here like that, and he said he could go that night. He could go to his office and give me some say, but he could tell me something better than that.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't understand it, you know. Of course, I knew the doctor, and the man that made me go to the doctor that night, I'd never met him before. But I was sitting in a barber shop, and he seen me with my hand, and how's he doing it and how my hand was swelling.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, he got up and walked over there. I was about 17 or 18 years old. He walked over and says, young man, I want to look at that hand. That's what he said to me, you know. I walked over, I let him go ahead, you know. He says, you better go to the doctor for that. He says, I see red streaks going up there, and says, that don't look good to me.
Yeah.
And boy, it was hurting bad.
Oh, it was.
It was really hurting. He was right. I just heard it the night before.
Hmm.
And
you mean it worked that fast?
Catching, helping brother catching a chicken, and I don't know where it spurred, or I hit the fence or something and cut a little place that down my hand. Went on, didn't think nothing about it, you know. And thought it'd soon be all right. The little thing just healed up on me right quick, but that didn't. So I was on Saturday and Saturday night, you know, I was at the fair. Well, we went, and after a while, when I'd get out and get cold, it would go to hurting worse. And I'd go by in the barber shop, it's a barber where I was learning how to cut hair, you know, and watching him too, you see. But it's hurting so bad, I wasn't sweating it. I was trying to get warm to keep that hand. And I hate to go out there and tell the other boys and get them there, country boys going to town, you know, once a year nearly. They're all out there enjoying the fair and all those carnivals and things. So that when I went back in the shop to warm, get warm just to get ready to go home. Then
they don't want any illness or ailments when they are going to town. Do they?
That's right, and I didn't ever like to go and if there's anything wrong with me, burst up their place, you see, and interfere with it. So that I didn't say nothing much to them, you see, and I hadn't said nothing to nobody else in the barber shop. So he came back over and said, I want to see that hand again.
There just one of the men in there?
What's he? Just one old man. He says I was fixing to leave till I looked at your hand.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I waited here, I won't see that hand again for you to come back. Said I was going to see you went to a doctor. And it was really hurting. Now he was right about it.
Yeah.
And So that I went ahead and I wouldn't argue with him. He says, get up and come on, you got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, well, I knew he was right. I got up and walked on up there with him, you know, and he called the doctor, woke him up and called him up. He says, I'll go if you don't want to go by yourself, I'm going to carry you up there.
Yeah.
All right, I went up there. Doctor looked at it, looked a little bit and studied a little bit. He says, I can go over my office and get some salve and give in and let you put it on there. But he says, I can tell you something will do more good than that and quicker. And I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
He says, go home and get some meal and salt and make a meal and salt poultice.
Yeah.
And put on that place and keep it wet.
Oh, the salt?
Yeah, just pure salt and meal. But you won't get clean, good, pure. Now the salt, not like this you get in boxes, it's adulterated.
Yeah. Ain't much salt left in that.
Well, ain't much. You'd have to put so much in there. It wouldn't do half as much. It wouldn't go quick, half as quick as this other kind.
Yeah.
Just bulk salt. I reckon that you get it, you can't find it now anywhere because I've been using it up till last year and I can't find it now.
Let me tell you, Mr. Weaver, if you keep reminding me of that, I'll get you some. I know where there is some.
Well, I want you to get me some of it because when I eat it, my stomach goes to give me trouble out of these boxes.
Yeah.
And it's against me, and I know it.
Well, let me tell you. Yeah, what the boy over here said, he went out there with me. Now, this was after I'd pretty well cleaned up this cow's foot.
Mm-hmm.
But he went out there, he had it in his mind to put a Epsom salts.
Well, Epsom salts, but the table salts are doing quicker. Epsom salts, as you see, doctors have been using that. Now and then, they're switching back over to the table salt, the pure salt. You don't want none of this here salt that's got any, like iodine in it, or anything like that.
Yeah.
And it's not pure salt, no way. It ain't hardly half salt that's in these boxes.
Yeah. Oh, is that right?
And you can take the fat meat, you can take where it's been salted down and just cut that with that kind of salt and put it on the place and it'll just draw everybody's that out. I've seen that done a million times.
Well, the fat meat has got so much salt in it.
Well, it's got the salt in it, and you don't have to, but this salt poultice, but you better keep it wet. If you don't, when that begins to dry, and that fever will dry that out in a few minutes, you better be where you put some water on that, because when I got up at 4 o'clock that morning, I told them they want me to go and come to a big singing convention, you know. My sister did, and I told them, I said, I can't go and drive. We had kind of high-stepping mules and horses, you know, and they couldn't handle them. And some of the men had to go, some of us had to go, and my dad was going somewhere else that day. We had a two-horse hack there, you see. And so when Mother got up the next morning, I wouldn't wake her up and let her know it, because she hadn't slept no more, and I knew it that night when she'd seen my hand and found out it was hurting me that way. So I wouldn't call, you see. I went to bed and slept about, well, I didn't sleep any. I stayed there in the bed. That hand hurt too bad. And when I thought 4 o'clock never would come for her to get up. Because she got up at 4 o'clock every morning. And she got up, you know. I was up too and dressed by 4 o'clock. When she got up and dressed, I walked in there and knocked on the door and went on in. And in Dad and Mother's room. They had a fireplace in there. We had fireplaces and bedrooms up there a whole lot, you know. And so that she don't know what's wrong, and I told her. And told her what the doctor said to do. She put that on there, and in an hour's time, I went and carried my sister to and drove 8 miles with a wagon and back. And we used that on horses, too. And
you mean just that fast?
Yeah. And
but you got to keep it wet.
But you, yeah.
If
the dog the fever out and that swelling went down and went down there, and where I had it wrapped up, it looked like two hands could nearly went in there, swollen so bad. And I don't tell these things trying to be smart. I tell them for the good that they do.
You know, most people wouldn't listen to you, Mr. Beaver.
I know, they laugh at me. I don't tell many people anything. It's just like that chiropractic work, what I know about that. Mm-hmm. I don't tell a lot of people about it.
Let me tell you.
They say, that's just fogey.
Let me tell you. Uh-huh. One of my friends over there at Meganobia, I bet you couldn't tell him. Old smart buster.
Oh, you can't tell him nothing. I hate to say it. You can't tell Buster nothing. He knows it all. And
I wouldn't undertake to tell him.
I don't try to tell him anything. He goes work on the car. He don't want you to tell him what you want him to do to it either. All like that. Well, he done something. This car got out here. Same. That's the third one. He'll never do it again.
Oh, he's had a hold of this?
He'll never get a hold of nothing. I knew when I was watching, I knew he was doing the wrong thing, and I'm not a mechanic. I knew he was doing something of purpose. I can look at anyone and tell them how they talk and act about it.
A purpose?
Yeah. If you can practice. See, I practice trying to read the expression all my life and things like that, you see.
Yeah.
And I can remember your face, but I can't remember your name. That's the one thing I can't remember. It takes me a long time to get to where I can call people's names and all time.
You know, these motors, the way they make them now, Mr. Weaver, there's so many things in there, you can just take them a little bit out of adjustment and just ruin a man.
Well, that's what he done about this, and he's got some, he wanted to give the tune-up job, you know. After I told him what I wanted him to see what was wrong, I knew what was wrong. It was a carburetor. Needs a new carburetor.
Yeah.
And so he turned in and took out all my spark plugs and hadn't been in there too long, and there wasn't a missing. He took them all out.
Yeah.
And he put in a new set. And he took off and adjusted the valves. Said they're way too close, and he didn't put near one of them to hit the exact. I can stand there and tell that. I used to do that myself on my cars. But I can't see good now, and I don't have the tools to do it with.
Yeah.
And wouldn't pay me. Well, he wanted to do that. Well, I didn't want that done to it. I wanted this other and check the fuel pump and the carburetor. Well, he done all that, and And he had fixed it where it cut off, you know. And it cut off of me right there, and I started, had to stop it coming by Myers' store there. And Reverend Huck was behind me. Road patrolman. Cut off right there, and I was supposed to go and get out of the way. And I believe he done that. He had a fix, you know, and I hadn't rode too far, you see. And so that I went ahead and I just got out of the car and asked the road patrolman, I said, will you push me just across the street to the I live right across over there. He said, what's wrong with it? I says, it's carburetor's flooding it out. Flooding out. I said, that's what's wrong with it. And
did he push you a little?
Yeah, he said, I can, but you park it right over there. I said, I just live right down that lane right there, and I'm going to carry it on to the house if I can get it run on there. And I kept on starting it till, until I got it run on to the house. I went over there and let it sit there about a week before Frank brought me a new carburetor and put it on there and just run right over. But still, what he'd adjusted in there, he still got it wrong.
He brought you one.
No, he didn't, but Frank. I got Frank to bring me one.
Yeah.
And we put it on, you see. Took that off, and there's one part of that carburetor wouldn't even work, and there's sand all in it. And and it was wore plumb out. I bet it's one that came on the car. It looked like it's the one that came on the car.
Of all things.
I don't.
And Frank turned in and brought me a fuel pump too. And I reckon him and Buster got to talking, and they figured that's what it needed.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. I still got to use the same fuel pump, but to put...
Would you tell me, somebody kicked me, when this cow, I found her back there, why didn't I think of Mr. Weaver and get him to go back there and help me?
I don't know, guy.
I don't know.
Because now that would have just simplified it all.
I declare he could have helped me and showed me how to clean it up.
And put that salt on,
poultice on there.
Now you try it on something and see before it gets too bad and see and try it. If you get a cut place and a fever right now, you just make salt poultice and put on there and watch it yourself now.
Yes.
Don't take my word for it.
Why can't it get dry, Mr. Weaver?
it'll hurt. It'll draw so hard it'll just...
It
draws every bit of that stuff out of there.
Oh.
But now, after it got so bad and got infection in there like that cow did, you did the right thing in scraping that out. Well, now, I've never done that. But
I've
seen my father do it.
Just a little at a time, Mr. Weaver.
And now, that salt will draw all that fever and that poison and stuff out. And it's just like... It's just like what cured that finger right there. I was just working around there and I get dirt in it. I didn't clean my hands up before I came over here. I was going to just come in right straight back. That place right there, and I talked to Dr. Cook, well, it had this and done turning it all back in here, swelling up, and done eat this nail way back in there.
Yeah.
And me putting that kerosene and sulfur and grease on the dogs, you see.
Yeah.
Now, and the part of the time I put salt in there. Salt is good for it.
Yeah.
And I noticed that looked like it was getting a little bit better. Well, it was on my big toe and it had it in bad shape.
Yeah.
And it's going up my leg and hurting. It's going on up here. And I got to looking at this and I couldn't figure nothing but the kerosene and stuff that I was putting on the grease in the dog with to get the fleas off. See, that one flea will just raise a hole, and it began to get better. And I went to using it on nine and got well. Now my toe's nearly well. It ain't pump well, it's the fingers pump. It looks like it's perfectly well. And Mr. Carter, now I don't mean knocking nobody. You particular university is good, and teachers and all up there is good. But Mr. Carter had the same thing on his hand, and he went up there to the, let's see, medical center. He lived right there where we turn in, you know, in that house where Mr. May used to live, next to Leo Mary's blockhouse. And he lived there, and he went up there, and I was waiting to see what he found out. And they cut off some of it, and they sent it off, and sent it off, and they never could. It never would throw up no germs.
Yeah.
And I was worried about mine. He couldn't get it, and I didn't know nothing to do for it. But it just accidentally that was what was healing it up.
Yeah.
And I went to take my finger out and go out maybe 2 or 3 times a day and just hold it down to kerosene, taking it out.
Yeah.
Kerosene will kill nearly any germ or any insect. I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
Now you can take these poison spiders and you can drop one drop on any spider and it won't be alive a minute.
Yeah.
One drop right on its back.
Yeah.
Of a spider.
Hmm.
A barber told me that and I tried it. It done it.
Now say that again, my mind wandered. About a spider?
Spider. You know these poison spiders?
Yeah.
You can put it on there and if it bites you, if you can get the place, I got it. I see it, one bit me here and I held my hand in there and it drawed it out. And you can see little green bubbles come out of it. I said I was going to try kerosene. You know I've all used it so much all my life. I said,
you mean you could just dip it down in the kerosene?
Don't dip it in there. Hold it in there. If you dip it in there and hold a little bit, it'll stop, but it'll go back hurting if you don't let it draw it all out. But it'll draw out little bitty bubbles. Now, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have believed it, hardly nobody told me it'd do that. But I tried it, and it worked. And I seen the spider and killed it, and it was a poison spider.
Uh-oh.
And it just paralyzed this side. It just felt like I couldn't stand nothing to touch. When it hit me in this side of my head.
Is that right?
It hit the nerves. It went to all these places here, you know. And I held it in there, and it got easy, and I took it up and took it out, and there's plenty of kerosene on it, but when the air hit it, it began to hurt again. I didn't take it out in about 30 minutes. And it never has hurt me since. When I took it out that time.
And it didn't blister.
Well,
no. Kerosene, if you don't cover it up and get it where it can't get air, it won't blister hardly.
What is it?
Too much air.
What is it about kerosene that the dogs, your puppy dogs, don't like, mister? Is that the smell of it?
Smell of it, and see if it's, if a flea's busy and affected, you know, when you put it on there and it stings a little bit.
Yeah.
And they don't like anything to burn or smell. And turpentine, they just can't stand the salt of turpentine on it.
Yeah. Well, I can't either.
Well, it don't bother me a bit no more.
Do you use...
You can use that. That's good, too.
What is that stuff I don't like to say?
Clorox.
No, that'll kill me. I tried that one time when the kid... My dog died, and I thought it was going to kill me. Now, some people can use it.
Mr. Boyd used it.
Well, if you put that on me... Or launder my clothes with Clorox and don't rinse it out real good and get a bit of it out. I'll just go to breaking out and swelling up and itching and if you rub it, it just stings that much worse.
And that's funny, you know, if I get a mosquito bite or any kind of bite, I just rub straight Clorox on it.
That'll kill it too.
I can't stand it. Disinfects. Yeah, I can't stand it.
You know, it'll make my legs break out all over if they don't get all that out of my clothes. And I tell them, the linemen and all of them, be sure not to put no Clorox and laundering my clothes.
Oh, you can't.
My head itches, mister. Other than washing it, what do you do for your scalp when your head itches?
For you?
You know, just sort of feel like you just want to scratch it all the time.
Well,
just wash it, Mr. Weaver.
Wash it as well. We used to have tonics, you know.
Yeah, but just some ordinary thing.
Well, you can take alcohol and do and treat that. See, the alcohol used to. I don't know what. Well, not they say not. It don't kill germs, but I believe it does. Right on.
Won't hurt your hair.
No, and you see, there's a lot of alcohol in all your. Stuff that you
tonic.
Get out of, I know what I'm trying to
tonic.
Say, and all kind of that. Anything that you use has got some alcohol in it, so it'll keep, you know. And
is it just rubbing alcohol?
Rubbing alcohol will help it. You can get some tonics will do it good, and some don't do it a bit of good. Most of it don't do it a bit of good. Now, if it's got a little oil in there, sometimes it's a little scalp disease, you see, and it'll make it etch and sting, or dandruff. Well, that's always called some little parasite. It's just like called the mange. I've decided there ain't no mange now. It's a flea, and it's a mite, gets in the air, and they go down in there and hatch out in there, and they come out. You seen dogs in the cold at Kinker? And so I had one, and I kept on trying to find out what to do for it. And I basically tried to ask the doctors and everybody what to do, and got stuff from the veterinarian, and didn't do a bit of good. And one time I decided I was going to try something myself, you know. I went and got some alcohol, and I pulled out the lead pool, and I pulled down the alcohol, pure alcohol. I said, dog can't no good like it is. It's in one air, and he'd hear the other dogs running, he'd go the other way. Instead of going towards the dogs, he'd listen, and he'd start, and he'd try, and he couldn't course the dogs. That mind's in there. Well, I didn't know. I thought it was canker, you know. And I tried canker medicine, didn't do him a bit of good. And what I could get out of the drugstore, and went to veterinaries for it. And theirs didn't do it any good. I poured the alcohol in it, and I was watching one day, and watching. Out come a big old mite out up there. It looked like a flea, and it's longer. Come up there.
Oh, they are big.
Yeah, and it's long. And they are this way. The old one, I don't know, it don't take but about 2 days till it just got that dog scratching its hair off. And if it goes in its body, then the whole bunch will be right there and eat a hole in it. Did you all see down here? Yeah, you all haven't seen down. Like, it got on him up there and in his ears, and he looked aside. And the casein and sulfur and grease will kill him. He'll go right on down in. The casein will penetrate on down in his head. And so that I tried that on that dog, and he cured it. And you know what? So last I heard of him, he had one leg cut off and get hung in the wire fence. He is 9 years old, and he is still the best deer dog they had in Dixie County.
Oh, yeah.
One people that didn't know me, I was talking to him, talking about that good dog, you know, And he had one legged and called his name, and I knew him. I knew it was the dog I'd let a fellow in a carpenter that lived in Dixie County, and let him have him to train some puppies with.
Is that right?
After he had got it, he couldn't keep up with my pack. After I'd sold him, the fellow let his leg get cut off and brought him back, and he was still owed me $20, and he dumped the dog out, said he didn't want a three legged dog. wouldn't ever pay me. Then he took one of his puppies. and beat it until had its head come out of the door and just lie down, and you couldn't get it to get up. It beat it so bad, and wanted a better puppy in the United States than that one was.
He'd just come out and lie down.
Hey, well, they beat it to death, and had it over there woods, and people had caught it and beat it, didn't want it down, and people had beat it, you know. And see, a lot of people beat your dog, catch it in the woods, that wouldn't be. If he comes up and you run a deer, and they want that dog to not be there. If you come up and it's your dog, see, they don't give you no part of that deer. And they beat your dogs and run them off. And some of them steal your dogs like that. I don't even go to deer woods on account of that. But you know, I'm going to get started talking. I'm
Mr. Weaver, I've got a good little something for you.
Huh?
You have to leave him alone.
Let him eat.
Because he's a one-track mind.
That's right.
He can eat, but he don't talk and eat.
Well, I can't chew too good. I can't speak
what,
words
you just
train.
You just take your time on it. Would you like a little salad dressing on this?
No, thank you. This, I wouldn't care for more. This is just fine. Thank you.
Do you have any mowing you need done over there?
No, the town come out and mowed that. Except I wouldn't mind getting you to mow that back lot for me there, if you have time. I figured it's you know, you're in your hay business, and, and everything, and she didn't have time to.
Well, I tell you, it's been so rainy, I'm sort of out of the hay business. And I have.
Well, you know, there are lots of crap grass or some kind of grass that looks like crap grass.
Yeah.
And the weeds ain't too bad. I was just wondering if you could, if it quit raining quick enough to. That you could cut that and have it for hay if you wanted. Mow it.
That crabgrass makes fine hay.
Yeah, I know it would, but there's some weeds in there, and I started to figure that I'd go in there and pull them up, but I've waited so long until.
Yeah.
And get them out, then I was going to, if you could use it for hay, just cut it.
Yeah.
Of course, you just take that mowing machine and mow it just for let it be fertilizer, but. There's lots of grass in it, in spots there, but I don't know what would be enough to pay you the food with now.
Well,
and in this kind of weather, it wouldn't do to cut it because it rained on it and run it.
Yeah, and it takes crabgrass a little while to cure out.
Yeah. Only way you could do it is almost just go ahead and cut it as thick as it is and haul it in here and kind of let it go through heat and spread it a little bit. And then you haven't got a baler either, have you?
Baler?
Yeah.
What's that right out there?
Well, I hadn't looked at it.
Yeah,
I know.
I got everything.
Oh, yeah, you got everything. Well, you see, you could bait it, but I reckon we'd have to get those weeds, pull those weeds up before you could cut it.
Just bait it all.
The weeds won't hurt it. They don't need it.
The cows and the horses, they'll separate them if they don't want them.
Well, usually in hay that way, if it cures out good, the weeds, you know, a lot of times they'll eat those weeds. Some of it's hogweed and some of it's Spanish needles.
Yeah. Well, you know, they don't care for Spanish needles. They must be tasteless.
Well, there's a lot of the weeds and different things we have is poison to cattle and stuff, and they know it. Now, you talking about lantana, be sure that you don't let one sprig of that be on your place.
Yeah.
And, Cotillaria, that one kind of Cotillaria you'll kill every cow.
Yeah.
And nightshade will kill them if they eat it.
Yeah.
Nightshade looks green.
They won't eat it.
They will sometimes.
They won't eat Cotillaria as a general thing.
Horses will eat it quicker than a cow will.
Is that right?
My dogs, I had some young dogs, you know, I mean a whole litter of them, and they're pretty and fine. And extra good dogs. Nobody was trying to buy them. Well, I got them for my own use, you know. I raised them for my own use. I wasn't going to sell any of them until I got up and tried some of them. Let's let somebody have them hunted with. So they're trying to reach through to get some lantana on the outside of the kennel.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know it hurt them. And I noticed they'd got a hold of something up once in a while and made them break out.
Yeah.
So I just broke some off and sort of told McKinley and he come almost killing two of them.
Yeah.
And a fella come along and told me and was looking at the dogs, you know, and everything. And I told him about it, they'd got a hold of something, showed him what it was.
Yeah.
He says, "That's lantana." He says, "I'll kill anything that eats it." And the way they'd do that, if they eat it a little bit, they'd just grab themselves and gnaw.
Oh, really?
And it just stung them to death nearly. And I got some of it on my arms one day, and happened to rub it on my arms, you know, fooling with it, pulling it up. And certain times of the year, it'll sting you to death nearly.
What'd you do for it? Alcohol?
No, I said, well, I didn't know what to do for it. I just had to try to wash it off, put a little grease or something on it, same. That is all I could do.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to do for it.
Yeah.
And I thought two of the dogs were going to die. They just bursted out in big blisters, gnawing themselves, you see. And this fellow told me, his John Harris, Joe Harris at the well driller's boy up there told me that.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was poison. And I'd let it kill one of my dogs once before it got to eating it. And I saved it because I had those pretty flowers on it. I left it in the dog kennel, just to part of it, and just to let it bloom and grow.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my dogs, I noticed, go by and every once in a while, I'd eat some leaves, and then she'd just break out, and the hair'd all come off of her.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what it was. It killed her. She wasn't about 2 years old.
I'm clear.
And then this happened. He come along and told me, now I'm getting rid of all of it. And I couldn't let these dogs get out around the place. If I let them out of the kennel around the house, they'd go to hunting for it. And they'd eat it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is that they won't eat it for, but that's something that you watch around your place, too.
Gee whiz, there's a lot of it, isn't it? Well, that lantana stuff. Now, that grows up.
It grows up just about this high and spreads out, and it cold kill it back, but it comes out the next year sometimes,
yeah.
You know.
Does it have them little purple berries?
Yeah, purple berries and like that.
This place is full of it.
Well, if they ever eat it.
It is as full of it as it can get.
If they anything eats it, it's dangerous to kill it. And I didn't know it for a long time that China berries are meant to kill anything if anything eats it. To kill a dog, and it'll just tear the stomach open, and you feed them, and they'll just get poor and just go. And I didn't know it, and I've been letting mine be around, and I seen one of my dogs eat. Put a squirrel to cut them up there. I seen it eat the other day. I knew that the fella had told me about 2 years ago as a Florida pest control man told me there's poison. And there's another tree there that's got little berries on it. And every time one of my dogs eats it, it'll just go right on by and it'll just eat grass and everything. I reckon if it couldn't get a hold of some grass, I'll let it stay in the kennel, you see. And dogs on outside, I always save me some grass for them to eat on, you know. They want it. See, and you can watch your dog and go eating that, you know there's something wrong with them.
Yeah.
They're constipated or there's something like that, you see. And
Suzanne said, let me see, I saw her just a minute yesterday. Mm-hmm. And she said she and Jim had come over and visited with him and said your puppies, you had fed your puppies there, and they had their eye on that feed, and they didn't look up at anybody else, and you had a little round thing there where you
big
put it.
Dish pan, big pan, about this wide, and I feed, there's two of them. I told them, I says, these dogs kind of, they don't have an appetite. I says, they're kind of puny. They don't eat very good. When they went to eating, they went to laughing.
Yeah.
They knew then that's just a joke.
Yeah.
And I told them, I said, I wanted y'all to see how they eat. There's four of them eat together, you see. And they won't let my little puppy in there, and they hurt my, I had two letters of puppies. And save four out of each one. And so that I've only got four of those four in the pen now yet. And of course I'm going to have to, I hate to see it go, but I'm going to have to let the man have the dog that I raised the puppies from. How is that, I reckon? And I was trying to get to keep those just for myself, you know.
Yeah.
And out of the other letter, I kept mine, that I got one out of the other letter. And boy, that in town's got two of them, and I let Douglas Boyd have that gray spotted in that little puppy. I think you'd see it.
You got a little saddle or something, Mr. Weaver, to take back with you,
please? Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. You need to, don't go to any trouble or anything like that, because I didn't come over here just to get you over.
No, I know you didn't. Let me see. You think I ought to, Mr. Weaver thought Jim was going to come out here.
He came this morning, he said, Jim did.
Oh. He said he was going to he's going to come by today and see his coat. He didn't say what time. I don't know. He may have gone back or went somewhere else, you know.
Oh, I see.
No, he said.
But he's coming back in the morning.
But he told you he's coming over to your house in the morning?
Yeah, he's coming. He's going to come to the house in the morning, but I understood him say he may have not been able to come, but I just took that impression that he's coming on out here this morning while he's down
Suzanne?
And see the horse.
Suzanne? Suzanne said he was coming this afternoon and work on the horse.
Well, that may be, that's what he's going to do. Well, I wanted to see him pick up in the morning before he come back, bring me a box of these. I can leave the money, you can give it to him. And a dollar and a half, what it costs. Maybe a tax. I don't think they are, though. Maybe a tax on it. Can you tell by looking at it?
On medicine?
Uh-huh.
They don't tax medicine, do they?
Well, some of them do. They got tax on everything the other now. There's food. A lot of your food now is taxed.
Oh,
yeah. Yes, sir. They going to get to the tax everything. The more higher anything goes, the more taxes they get. And it don't do us no good for it to go up if we work and got a little money.
Yeah.
You see, if you just like your salary goes up, if they raise your salary, you know.
Yeah.
The other things, everything else goes up that you buy, and that don't do you a bit of good. You still just go right back to taxes.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, maybe I could catch Jim, and he could come by town and bring Mr. Weaver.
Well, if he's
come
down this afternoon, you see. He didn't say where he's coming out. He said all he had to do, he said he could look after the horse and he may be home.
Yeah, he may be.
Sure. I'd like to get him because I run out the other day and
591-1512. Yeah. Now, if he's home, he got to go clear across the house, hasn't he?
Yeah, because he's over at the den.
Jim, this is Guy. Are you coming out here anytime, Pickler? Well, let me tell you, he can't get his tablets out here, and he was thinking you might pick up some for him. Yeah. Now, where can you get
them, Mr. Weaver? Get them at the City Drug Store on the north side, middle of the north side of the square. Or on
you get
them
at the City Drug Store on the north side of the square, or
at Vidal's. Vidal's, old place. I say maybe have somebody else's
right.
Name now.
He's going to get a pencil to write it down.
You have to tell him, spell out the Wilderness tablets.
Yeah, that's all they need to know.
Mm-hmm. They'll know what it is. Dollar and a half box.
All you need to know is Willard's tablets. Willard, W-I-L-L-A-R-D. And I think he wants a dollar and a half size. City Drug Store, all of Vidal's. Both of them have them. That'll save him a trip. Right on.
Did you say he's coming out this afternoon?
No, he said he's coming out in the morning and help you.
Yeah, well, that's what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
But he'll bring him in the morning. That's what I figured that he would do. Y'all can keep that box there, and if you have any symptoms of it, I'll give you a little booklet and let you read that sometime on it and tell you how to tell if you, what it,
yeah.
If you need it.
Now,
well,
are you going on home now, Mr.?
Yeah, I've got to go right now.
Well, let me tell you what I'll do.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get on my tractor and just go on over there while you're there.
Okay.
And what little mowing will do, you'll be there and can tell me.
Yeah, I should have just went right on back. I really meant to just go right straight back.
Oh, let me see now.
Well, we held
you.
I think.
Well, it's all right. I'm
I think we held you up. Got to talking about all these animals.
I don't charge people for that they do these things to me. I do it myself.
Let me tell you, I can do that. I can make another call now. And maybe find some of that salt. 6-2-2, I got so I can't remember.
Last I bought was 5 pounds. I had to buy it today. I'd rather have 2 pounds of it. Of course, I put it in jars and keep it airtight to where it will.
Yes.
Get it 25, I mean 5 pounds or 2 pounds in fact, but I don't know.
How much it cost? 100 pounds. $1.85.
You know, that's a good, I like to keep it around. I use it for lots of things, you know.
Yeah.
I put it in that stuff to put on my dog, too.
Well,
good,
I'll tell you what. He won't sell it less than 100 pounds.
He won't?
We'll just put it in some containers and stick
well,
it up where we...
Okay.
Where we can get it, and you see, I need
a 10 pounds. It's one of the best things that you can give your stock out there. I'd rather have his brick saw.
Why, I can let him have that instead of that old brick saw.
I'd rather have it. Don't give him too much at one time. Then.
You know, the reason I don't give it to him is I haven't got anything to give it to him in, Mr. Weaver.
You've got to... yeah, well, it's more trouble as the brick saw does.
You see, you put it in a wood trough, and it collects so much moisture.
It'll
little.
Melt and run out in that weather.
Yeah.
If you put there, you got to put just what to lead in there and lift it out.
Yeah.
Drop a little in the feed in the wintertime.
Yeah.
And instead of brick, well, you can keep your brick saw sold out that too. And it
well,
hurt them.
How would I, if I put in a little bucket or something?
Well, for you, I believe I'd make me a little wooden box to put it in, or trough or something like that.
Yeah.
Of course, you've got to have a drive it on to the atmosphere, so it'll get hard.
It
but
won't.
They'll still lick it, but it won't, it ain't as strong.
Yeah, not as strong.
It kills the strength of it.
Well, now that's the reason. Mm-hmm. I think the only way is to put it in the feed.
Just a little feed and get them out and don't give them too much at one time. I wouldn't put too much to start with until they may not like it to start with. And man, kind of, you know what, so? If they want that kind of salt real bad, you can take a little in the far own place.
yes.
Yeah, and just leave one around with a little salt right down. Get it to follow you.
You know, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, and he'll come to you.
Yes, sir. I can just take a little bucket of salt out there and let him lick it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how
let
much.
Me give you, let me give you the money for it then. And
No, I'm going to keep it and feed the cows, and I'll just give you
I'm going to pay for it.
What you want.
And I've got some jars, pretty good sized jars that I fill up, you know, keep coffee jars I've saved, and I'll put it in there, and it'll keep a long time.
That's Channel 1 right, around 8:30, 40, 50, and the end of the visit with Mr. Weaver this Wednesday at noon, the 1st of September, 1971. It's fall is in the air. The wind is in the east. Those clouds are beautiful summer clouds. And a perfect day to make hay. But nobody's here to make it with me. Channel 1 right, around 8:50, 40, 30, 40, 50. The end of the visit with Mr. Weaver this noon, Wednesday noon, the 1st of September, 1971.